It's only page one. I really want to thank Jake Whitjager. Thank you so much
for making copies. It's only the first page. The other page is my document. It's okay. Even though it's some interesting stuff on the other page too, but...
No.
By the way, it would always be nice to give like just like a simple, you know, recruiting sheet for you guys, but you guys have heard from all the different years that are represented. Hallel. What else you guys hear? The St. Tom Adel Rafa? Anybody here? Something that they're not. The poison sandwich. How about Machshava versus Maisa? Machshava versus Maisa? It's the thought that counts. I got a whole bunch. Please go around. Anyway, so this is always the toughest one because this is like, you know, you have to say something new. Anything that was said in the last 5-6 years in yeshiva, I have to, can't repeat. No repeating allowed. So this is another idea. Hanukkah is approaching. Are we being recorded right now?
Yeah.
We cannot.
Yeah, I need a sheet. Are there any more sheets? I need just one. Thank you. No, that's it. On Yom Hanukkah, I always quote the, I don't know, Rav Kremsky must have quoted somebody who said this, that my Hanukkah, the Tana Rabbanan. Gemara says, my Hanukkah, the Tana Rabbanan. So Hanukkah is a chag that's very connected to Rabbanim. We'll talk about a little bit about Torah Shabbat Peir in one more second. But it's so interesting that Hanukkah and Purim, which are the chagim de Rabbanan, are always celebrated with the Rabbanan, always celebrated in Yeshiva. When you have, during the Regalim, it's Ben Esmanim, it's not a time of Yeshiva, but this is the time that's in Yeshiva. So you've heard a lot of Torah of Hanukkah from me also, but I tried to say something a little bit different today. Let's see. Let's start off with just a question. It's something that bothered me. I don't know why it bothered me this year more than any other year. Maybe I saw it quoted somewhere, the question, and like it just hit me. And I think it is a good question. The Gemara Paskins Kavsa Ein Zakut La by Ner Hanukkah. That means that when you light it, if you lit it properly and it goes out, you do not have to relight it. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins this in Tafresh Ayin Gimel Havlaka Ose Mitzvah Lefichach Im Kavsa Kodem Shavar Zmana Ein Zakut La. The Gemara doesn't connect this to Halakha Oseh Mitzvah, but the Shulchan Aruch, that's at least how he words it, Halakha Oseh Mitzvah, the moment of truth is when you light it. If it goes out right afterwards, you don't have to relight it. Now that halakha is weird. That halakha is difficult a little bit to understand. The theme of this whole mitzvah, Persumei Nisa, why did you put so much oil in it? Why are you putting it exactly outside? So that you light for the requisite amount of time. So is this just a kula? Is this just like, listen, you did everything right. If it goes out, like, what, we're going to make you relight it? It's so difficult on you. Is that the whole thing? I mean, why don't you have to relight it? And the Raman, Shulchan Aruch, actually paskins, he's clearly suggesting to do it, to relight it. Why? For Sumei Nisa, what's the point of having extinguished candles on the... So, what's the idea that you should light it? But because... we should zero in on one exact moment, and you did it right. That's it. We raised our hands like no more. Don't be involved in the halacha anymore. It's all that exact moment. That would be question number one. Question number two is just a phenomenon, I believe. Hanukkah and Purim are so revolving around Mesiras Nefesh. Mesiras Nefesh is such a big part of Hanukkah and Purim. Where do you see the Mesiras Nefesh is such a big part of Hanukkah and Purim? So one of my yahrzeit shiurim on Purim was about the Mesiras Nefesh of Esther, or the lack thereof of the Mesiras Nefesh of Esther. Mesiras Nefesh means two different things. Mesiras Nefesh, there's a halachic Mesiras Nefesh, I call it the halachic Mesiras Nefesh, and then there's the Musar Mesiras Nefesh. The halachic Mesiras Nefesh is, you learn Ksuvis, Daf Gimel Amebeis, the Tznuos, being Musar Nefesh, meaning, don't commit Navera, Yarval Yavor, it's a sugya. Esther did not give up her life. She was not Moser Nefesh. How was she allowed not to be Moser Nefesh? So, the Yisakim and all the other different shittos that there are with Esther. That's the halachic Mesiras Nefesh that we find by Hanukkah and Purim too. By Hanukkah, we have Chana and Shiva Baneha. We have people who were unwilling to commit Avodah Zarah, and they gave up their lives. Yarival Yavor and Esther didn't give up her lives. Mordechai might have given up, was willing to give up his life for not bowing down to Haman if that's a quasi Avodah Zarah or real Avodah Zarah. So that's the halachic Mesiras Nefesh. But we also have even the Musar Mesiras Nefesh. The Musar Mesiras Nefesh, I go, the Musar Nefesh means really putting in a tremendous amount of effort. Sometimes it even means being willing to take a risk, to put yourself out there, to put yourself on the line, to risk, to be Moser Nefesh, to teach Torah. That's not the sugya of Yerid Al Yavor, you know, per se. That's the sugya of trying so hard, risking everything so that you could be Moser Torah to the next generation. That also is something that we find by Hanukkah and Purim. By Hanukkah, we have the Mesiras Nefesh of the Chashmonaim, we have the Mesiras Nefesh of Yehuda Amakabi and the family of Matisyahu being Moser Nefesh for Am Yisrael, taking risks in order to ensure the continuum of Am Yisrael. And we also have, also by Purim, Esther being willing to go into the Armon, into the palace, and speak to Achashverosh, even though everybody who comes in unannounced it would be put to death. Again, that's not the halachic sugya of Mesiras Nefesh. That's being Moser Nefesh. And when you hear a sikha about Mesiras Nefesh, we don't mean halachos of Yarival Yavor and Daf Gimel Mevesing Suvis. There we mean Mesiras Nefesh. Oh, you learned about Mesiras Nefesh. You know, you went down with Mesiras Nefesh, you went to the base of Mesiras Nefesh, Mesiras Nefesh. That's also by Hanukkah and Purim. It's interesting that it's more profound, it's more emphasized. It's actually truly only by the Chagim de Rabbanan. It's only by Hanukkah and Purim. That's where we find Mesiras Nefesh. The Mesiras Nefesh by the Chagim d'Oraisa, even Pesach. Yeah, there's a story about Nachshon Ben Amin Adav. There is that, there's one, you know, one shout out of a Mesiras Nefesh. But otherwise, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nisim and Aflaus, taking us out of Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking us to the Midbar, giving us the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking care of us in the Midbar with the Sukkos. Those are the Shalosh Regalim. They don't revolve around Mesiras Nefesh. Why is Mesiras Nefesh such an important part of the Chagim de Rabbanan specifically? Why specifically? So in Source 2, there's a Medrash Pliya. I don't know what else to call it. I could have just called it a Medrash. The problem is, it's not in any Medrash. It's not in any Medrash. So what is it doing on the sheet if it's not in a Medrash? It is a Medrash that's quoted in many, many, many Acharonim. The Chasam Sofer, the Ksav Sofer, the Shemi Shmuel, they all quote this Medrash, but we don't have it anywhere, this Medrash. Rav Shlomo Kluger, a posek in Lita, in Brot, 200 years ago, he quotes this Medrash, and in his Sefer Koheles Yaakov has 20 drushos about this Medrash. Quotes the Medrash, and then there's 20 different perushim about this Medrash. But it's a very nice Medrash, and there's a certain idea that I want to capture. Even though I know that there are 50 different shakim in this medrash, but I want to just say one idea. Hadudaim nasnu reyach zeruven sheitilas Yosef. Val pisachenu kol migadim zerner Chanukah. This is a pasuk in Shir Hashirim. It's a reference somewhat to the Dudaim nasnu reyach, the Dudaim of Ruven. Al pisachenu kol migadim, something with the Pesach that's also a beauty, that's ner Chanukah. Clearly what the medrash is doing is either comparing the actions of Ruven and Ner Chanukah, and the story of Chanukah, or contrasting the story of Reuven and Ner Chanukah. Some of the Perushim in this Medrash go one way, some of the Perushim go in the other. I'd like to take the one that compares the two. What connection is there than the Dudaim and Ner Chanukah? So there's a beautiful idea that's expressed in the Sforno on Chumash. The Sforno says that the major idea of the Dudaim is one where the Avos and Imos are practicing Hishtadlus. The Dudaim looks like, in the Torah, a very almost crass deal about baby making. That's what the Dudaim look like in Chumash. Who gets to sleep with Yaakov tonight? Who gets to have children or not? And the Sforno explains very, very beautifully. The Sforno says, let's take a look at Source 3. And he says, Ubizasipur at the end of the first line, Hanir em migune etzel megalei panim b'Torah. It looks disgusting to those people who are against Torah, Omnam, however, Shayanyana Toleda Itzalavos Kemo Shayanyano Itzaladam Bishto Kodim Achetam. By the Avos and Imahos, they weren't talking Taiva. They were talking extremely practical and very result oriented. It was like Adam and Chava Kodim Achet. Kilo Itakam Asambo Lahana Sasman Klau. Aval Yala Kim Zera Bilvad Lichvot Konam Vilavodaso. It was purely for Kvot Shamayim and for Avodas Hashem. And since they were all involved in that, and even though Kadosh Baruch Hu made them akaros, Kadosh Baruch Hu was interested in them acting with hishtadlus. How did that hishtadlus manifest itself? Vinyana judaim nishmat vilatan azeh ki ra'ui go to the boface, ki ra'ui le tzadik. Does anyone have a plastic cup? No? Good. Ki, rub, you don't, nobody has to get up and get one. Ki ra'ui le boface. But, no, don't get up. Bold. Ki ra'ui letzadik shiaseh hishtadlus hativ'i ha'efshar etzlo la'asik chetzo v'imze yitpalel shiaseh ha'tachlif. What a person has to do is he has to work towards the tachlis. He has to do hishtadlus towards that tachlis. He also has to daven. It's an important aspect also of hishtadlus. He has to do his physical hishtadlus and he has to do his spiritual hishtadlus. What this represents is the Dudaim represent Hishtadlus. Ruvain being Matzil Yosef. Ruvain could have easily said, listen, Yosef, we all know that he had the dreams. Kadosh Baruch Hu seems that he's going to be taking care of him. But Ruvain said, no, I'm still going to try to make sure, I'm going to take him later, in order to save Yosef. Ruvain acted. You need to do your hishtadlus, even if you think everything's going to work out. And the application of the Chanukah is clear. A person has to do his hishtadlus. The Chashmonai might have said, listen, there's a Beis HaMikdash. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to make sure that this Beis HaMikdash is at some point returned to Tahara, and not going to be defiled anymore. And the Chashmonaim decided to act and to do their hishtadlus. And they could have said, listen, we're being persecuted right now, and maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not allowing us to be Mekayim Mitzvos. So we sit inside, so we won't have Talmud Torah, we won't have Minyanim, and that's actually the halacha. The halacha might very well be that you're allowed to stay home and not go to tefillah and not to learn Torah. It's b'makom pikuach nefesh. It's pikuach nefesh. It's ones. Rather. It's ones. Ones. I'm not a chayav to go do the Talmud Torah and to do the mitzvos at this time. And they said, nothing doing. We have to at least do our hishtadlus to make sure that everything is restored b'tahara. This is what the Medrash seems to connect. The Dudaim, the Maisa of Ruvain, and the Maisa of Ner Chanukah. One amongst 20, 50, 100 different pshatim in this Medrash. This idea of one's hishtadlus and how much a person's effort has to be put in and is necessary to be put in is a big idea in Torah, and it actually connects to the Dudaim. In the Medrash, in the Yalkut Shimoni in Source 4, HaDudaim Nasnu Reach, and there's ideas about Reach also in the sense of smell, but I didn't discuss that today. Zei Sacharu Zvulun. Zvulun Yoshev Osek Beprakmatia V'Nosein B'Piv Shel Yisachar. That Torah Rabba al Yisrael. Amar Rabbi Levi Bo Re'e Kochan Shel Dudaim. Shalidei HaDudaim Amdu Shnei Shvatim Gdolim B'Yisrael Yisachar V'Zvulun. The Medrash says that it was B'Schus the Dudaim that Yisachar and Zvulun were born. In the aftermath, after the deal was made, Yisachar and Zvulun are born. They are directly connected to the Dudaim. If the Dudaim signify, according to the Sforno for sure, Hishtadlus, the very practical means that are necessary in order to effect goals, so then Yisachar and Zvulun, which is Torah, were B'Schus, the Dudaim. Because of the Dudaim, Yisachar and Zvulun were born. Because of the Dudaim, Torah was born to Am Yisrael. Torah was disseminated in Am Yisrael. All b'schus the Dudaim. It's that hishtadlus. It's a very profound idea in all of Torah. How much effort a person has to put in. If we learn in the womb, if we have Talmud Torah in the womb, so we're already connected to Torah. Maybe little effort is necessary in order to, you know, reach down and grab that piece of Torah that's already there. Even though I've said many times in the past that to explain in the Medrash that, yeah, we already learned it once. To recall something that we once learned in the past, you know, doesn't take as much effort. That is a very childish way of looking at this medrash, that like we learned everything once, we just forgot it. You're like, oh yeah, what's his name again? Like, you know, when you met somebody and then like later on you're trying to recall his name. It's not like that in Torah. It's not like I really remember this. Every time you sit and learn, if you're learning Ksubis now for the first time, you shouldn't be like, you know, this sounds so familiar. Because I think in the womb, I think we learned Ksubis like really, really well. Anybody who thinks that, like, you know, there's you need help. But the idea being, a person might think hishtalus is not so necessary. But hishtalus is absolutely necessary. A person has to. There's a rallying cry that's so beautiful in the Rambam, in Hilchos Talmud Torah, that you've heard, I'm sure, many times. In Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Rambam says this, Keter Kehuna, and Keter Malchus. Keter Kehuna was given to Aaron, and Keter Malchus was given to David. And Keter Torah, says the Rambam, where it's bold, Hare Munach Ve'omed U'mucham L'chol Yisrael, Torah Tzivlon HaMoshe Mar Shek Vos Yaakov, Kol Misha Yirte Yavo V'yitol. Now this idea, it's a rallying cry to Am Yisrael. Anybody who wants Torah has to go grab and get it. How much Hishtadlis has to be put in? So there's a level of Hishtadlis that's enormous by Torah, that's expressed in the Medrash that's quoted in the Gemara, the Drasha that's quoted in the Gemara, in Source 6. Amar Rav Yonasan, quote both Drashas. La'olam al yidna adam es atzmo mi-beis ha-medrash mi-dibri Torah filu b'shas misa. Person shouldn't prevent himself from being in the base medrash in Torah, even b'shas misa. Shenemar zos ha-Torah adam ki-yamos ba'ola, filu b'shas misa te yosik b'Torah. Amar Reish Lakish, ein divrei Torah, this is the more famous Drasha, ein divrei Torah miskaimin elamisha me-mis atzmo aleha. The only way to see success in Torah is through being meimis atzmo aleha. Is only through mesiris nefesh. That is the only way to see success in Torah. We just talked about the dudaim, the super hishtalis that's necessary, that we compare to the chashmonim. Now we're saying that the very Talmud Torah is also connected to the same idea. Super hishtalis is necessary. Meimis atzmo aleha. What's the idea of Meimis Atzmo Aleha? Why does a person have to really... I mean, what kind of lashon is that? I know it's a great lashon of Mesiris Nefesh. Meimis Atzmo Aleha, why death? So the Maharal, says Wamshat, and the Maharal in the Chidushei Agados there in Shabbos says, I'll tell you why. We'll just read the bold. Adiraba HaTorah Shei Sichlit. It's intellectual. It is not physical. Eich Eshar Shetamod Ba'adam Chomri Ki Elu Shnei Dvarim Shehem Hafachim. A person is physical. Basar v'dam. How can he learn Torah, which is something that is spiritual, Torah that's something that's intellectual, Torah that's something that's not, cannot be put into Olam Hazeh, really? It must be, you have to be meimis atzmo aleha. What that would mean is, not stress the physical. That doesn't mean that you don't eat lunch. Certainly welcome to all to eat lunch, but you understand, the lunch is just there so that you have enough koach. I gotta eat lunch. I want to be able to go to shir in a few minutes. I want to be able to learn Torah in the morning. And you know what? So, you know, you gotta eat lunch. You can certainly eat lunch. You can certainly eat meals. But understand what it's all about. You know, I had one of the things that I do here in America when I'm here is that I eat well. I eat well. I'm not starving other times either, but I eat well. I eat well. I always call it that this is one of my ways of tolerating gullus. Tolerating gullus. I really tolerate gullus. I almost tolerate gullus, I should say. It's really, I'm only tolerating it. And eating well, but you know what? I eat well with other people, with family members. So I have meals with my father and my brother. These are times of spending quality time with my father and my brother, but I also eat well. You know, you have to figure out what the focus is, what the real idea is about, and what's like tangential, and what's like, you know, it was important to spend time with my brother at the Ranger game, but like, you know, but it's not like I worked my entire trip to make sure that I saw the Penguins. Anyway, the idea being you have to know what the focus is, but a person does have to play down the Chomer in order so that he can attain Torah and achieve Torah Sichli. This is the idea of Mesiris Nefesh. Mesiris Nefesh, Meimis Atzmo Aleha. What the Chashmonaim were about, being Meimis Atzmo Aleha. They were willing to risk themselves. That is this idea of tremendous, tremendous Hishtadlus. To be Meimis Atzmo Aleha. Now, this does connect to our first question. Why Kafsein no Zachikla? What the Chashmonaim did was, they fought. Now, I can't even imagine what that meant at the time, to declare war on the Greek powerhouse at the time. Like, who would declare war? And like, who was listening? There, by all accounts, in all of the Sfarim Chitzoniim, the numbers that actually were the Hashmonaim were very, very small. The numbers of the Jewish people were actually very, very large. But people were very hesitant to join this group of Hashmonaim. They might have said, listen, Kadosh Baruch Hu will take care. It's not for man to act at all. In other words, no ishtavos necessary. They might have thought that, who are you? Who are you to call out? First of all, you're Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi doesn't know anything about fighting. Shevet Yehuda, give me a Yehuda. You know, it was Yehuda HaMakabi, but he was from Shevet Levi. You know, if you had been Shevet Yehuda, maybe I would listen to you. I don't know if you're the right address for this. Number three, like, you know, who says? You called out, so now Am Yisrael should fight? You're calling us to Milchama? What are you, a king? You're not a king. Who gets the right to call us out for Milchama? So there were many detractors and many opponents of the Hashmonaim even at the time. Not to mention the Hellenists and the Misyavnim, who weren't even on message, who weren't even on point. They didn't even agree necessarily with what the Hashmonaim were fighting for. So they were much more of a fledgling group. So even the act of the declaration of war at the time, fighting, and even taking arms, was something seen as like an extremely awesome act on their part. But at the end of the day, do we really think that the Milchama was victorious because the Hashmonaim were so good at fighting? That's their hishtadlus. But hishtadlus only goes so far. You try your best. You work as hard as you can during Seder. You work as hard as you can in the years, when the years afforded to you right now to learn as much as possible. But at the end of the day, there's so much siyata d'shmaya that's necessary. There's so much help along the way. Things have to work out. You have to be happy with what you're doing. You have to have the right attitude. But at the end of the day, so much of it is not talu yibcha. That's the idea. Kafsa eino zakakla means do your hishtadlus, light the candles. We don't just put the candles there. We light the candles. And that's our hishtadlus. But knowing very well that that's our hishtadlus, Kadosh Baruch Hu does the rest. That's signified by kafsa eino zakakla. Don't relight it. You did your best. That was the one moment. That was the hishtadlus that's necessary. Now I understand. It went out. So like you did your hishtadlus, but it was unforeseen. If you knew that the door was going to open, if you thought that people were going to open the door, the window is open and it's windy, so then of course you have to relight it. Your lighting wasn't even good. You probably have to make another. You have to make another bracha. But if you did everything kedasu kedin, you did your hishtadlus, that's enough. Kadosh Baruch Hu takes care of the rest of the way. So that's the idea. That's the idea of Chanukah and Purim. It's the times of hishtadlus with the Kadosh Baruch Hu doing the rest of the way. I thought that there was one more idea. That this is the idea of Tarshish Baal Peh. This was a time, Chanukah and Purim, at the end of Nevuah, post-Nevuah, at the end of Nevuah, where Klal Yisrael had to work much more b'teva, had to work much more behind the scenes, making sure that things took place, much more hishtadlus was necessary. This idea of going to the Navi and everything being taken care of was not possible anymore. That's why more hishtadlus was necessary. Which is why this is the beginning of Tarshish Baal Peh. Purim is the bridge between Tarshish B'Av and Tarshish Baal Peh, and Chanukah is actual Tarshish Baal Peh, because Tarshish Baal Peh signifies this too. The explosion of Am Yisrael Torah. The explosion of Am Yisrael's hishtadlus, not just learning Torah, but creating Torah. Adding to the corpus of Torah. That's this whole idea, the hishtadlus of man to expand Torah. And which is why Tarshish Baal Peh is so significant in Chanukah and Purim. It's the time where Tarshish Baal Peh exploded, and it basically is part of Tarshish Baal Peh itself. That's why we find a special idea of Mesiras Nefesh by Tarshish Baal Peh. It's not just Mesiras Nefesh for all of learning. We quoted the Gemara beforehand, Zos HaTorah Adam Ki Yamus Ba'ohel, Ein HaTorah Nikneis, Ein HaTorah Miskaimin El Mimisha Meimis Atzmalel. There's a very famous Medrash Tanchuma that we've quoted so many times. The Medrash Tanchuma says that Tarshish B'Chsav and Tarshish Baal Peh are different. And in the Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Noach in Source 8, the Medrash says, Tarshish Baal Peh, let's go to the third line in the beginning, Ela Tarshish B'Chsav Klalot, Tarshish Baal Peh Pratot. There's the Klalim and there's the Pratim. V'Tarshish Baal Peh Harbei, V'Tarshish B'Chsav Ma'at. It's also, Tarshish B'Chsav is short, is little, and Tarshish Baal Peh is enormous. V'Alshav Baal Peh Ne'emar Aruka Me'eret Midah V'Rachava Mine Yam. It's tremendous. The Yam HaTalmud. And it says, V'lo Timtzav Eretz Achayim. You will not find it amongst the living. Umay lo Timtzav Eretz Achayim. V'chi. Be'eretz HaMesim Timtzav. What are you going to find it in the land of the dead?
Ela shelo timtza Torah shival peh eitzel mishi yevakesh oneg haolam taiva v'kavod v'kedula balam azeh el b'misha meimitz atzvala. It's actually amazing. I think the Torah Tamima on Chumash points this out. Now, when you read the Medrash that's in the Gemara, the Drasha that's in the Gemara the first time, you think that this is an idea in all of Torah. Torah needs Mesiris Nefesh. This Medrash has a much more limited understanding in that Gemara. That Gemara is not talking about all of Torah. That Gemara is talking about Torah Sheval Peh. Torah Sheval Peh is so vast, so difficult, is so enormous. There's no way a person who's being Mechapes Olam Hazeh, there's no way that person is going to be Kone Torah Sheval Peh. That person needs Mesiris Nefesh. That's Meimis Atzmo Allah. It's no longer Sichli versus not Sichli. It's just the amount of effort necessary. Torah Sheval Peh is so vast. When you're doing Shas Katan of Ksubis, when you're doing a Gemara where each sugya is just enormous, you have to look at so many other Gemaras that relate to this. The Rishonim already bring it up. Everything just expands to a giant sugya. You get a sense that you're in a big, big sea. A big, big sea. And how, you're only getting a little taste of something. You're only like touching upon it. And it's the Torah Shabbat Peh. It's the vastness of Torah Shabbat Peh. And only a person, as the Medrash continues and says, only a person who loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much will be willing to put in the effort to be Moser Nefesh for Torah Shabbat Peh. And that was the Iker Bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu was on Torah Shabbat Peh. And that was the one that we accepted only Kafaleim HaKagigis. We were willing to accept Torah Shabbat Sav. Nasa Benishma, but Kafaleim Harkigidus was on Torah Shabbat Peh. This is the same Medrash, but it's the same Medrash that says Mesiris Nefesh for Torah is Dafka for Torah Shabbat Peh. And that's why Hanukkah and Purim also have such a big aspect of Mesiris Nefesh. Since they're the Chag where it's after Nevuah, more Hishtadlus is necessary. And it's also the Chag of Torah Shabbat Peh. And Torah Shabbat Peh needs Mesiris Nefesh. That's why these are the chagim of Mesiris Nefesh. We don't find it by the Shalosh Regalim, but we find it dafke by the chagim d'Rabbanan. We have two more minutes. Along the way, at some point, I was looking into this chazal, and I just found these two incredible, incredible drushos. We have 1 minute for each. We quote in davening every morning, Amar Abulazar and Rechanina, Tamidei Chachamim Arbim Shalom Ba'olam, Shenemar V'chol Banecha Lumudei Hashem V'Rav Shalom Banayich, Altika Banayich Ala Bonayich, V'chule, end of Maseches Brachos. This is quoted a couple of times in Shas. There are some differences that are also important, but not for now. How are Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam? How is that possible? Talmidei Chachamim go door to door and start telling people, everybody act good, everybody stop speaking Lashon Hara. How do Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam? Now, I remember in the past, I quoted Rabbi Lam. Rabbi Lam at my own Chag HaSmicha, who said such a beautiful idea, but it's not for now. You can ask me afterwards. But I found two other, you heard that from me, I have new things. Two beautiful new Perushim in that Gemara. The Ben Yehoyada, Rabbi Yosef Chaim, mi Baghdad, says the following, the Ben Ish Chai, says the following, Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. What's this Gemara talking about? How are Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam? Nearly b'siyat d'shmaya al pi mashkas b'gemar t'aynis. Amar Rav Chanina, harbei Torah lamadati mi rabosai, umi chaveira yosei mi rabosai, umi talmida yosei mi kulam. I've learned from my talmidim more than anything. Ayin sham nimtza yidei ha-talmidim tisrabe ha-torah ma'od ba'olam. It's through talmidim expanding the corpus of Torah, asking more questions, delving deeper, connecting it to new places. It's through Talmidim that the Torah gets bigger and bigger. And that's what the Gemara means. I know it's a drush. It's the students. It's the Talmidim that are marbe shalom ba'olam. Because what's shalom Torah? You're the ones who are expanding Torah. I've said this every single year that I give a sicha, wherever I give a sicha to alumni. You make my recruiting job very easy. Let's say I'm doing a good job as a Rebbe in Shalvim, okay? Let's say that's true. But I don't know whether I can actually prove that to Talmidim, to seniors in high school. I'm a great Rebbe, I'm not a great Rebbe, we're a great yeshiva, we're not a great yeshiva. Well, what am I supposed to prove it? So you'll have Talmidim. So how do I prove it? I prove it by, phew, I just point. Talmidei, I know I'm calling myself a chacham now, I don't mean it so much, but Talmidei chachamim are ma'arim shalom olam. You're bringing out shalom, you're bringing out Torah to the world. You have expanded Torah shalom. You expanded our world. And that's why you're being marbe shalom ba'olam. It's a very, very beautiful idea. And it's not just banayich, banecha elu ha-talmidim, but you guys are banayich, you guys are the builders of the future of Torah. I'll just finish off with one last. I'm done. So everybody who really needs to walk out should just walk out. But in the source 11, the Mishmar Halevi on Maseches Brachos, he quotes an idea that's just so beautiful. I have to share with you. How are Talmidei Chachamim Marbe Shalom Olam? So he says, is Rav Moshe Schulzinger? I think he's somewhere in Eretz Yisrael. But he writes, I heard in Adar of Tafshin Chav Dalet, I think that says 1964, in a Siyum of Maseches Yevamos in Slobodka in Bnei Brak. From the Chasn Yecheskel, Reb Chaskel Abramsky, the following Dvar Torah. He's quoting, I heard this at a Suda. I heard this at a Suda for the Siyam. Or at a Siyam. She'ein ha-kavana she-talmidei chachamim holchim mi-bayis le-bayis le-har b'shalom. They're not just like shaking hands and going like, oh yeah, stop speaking Lashon Hara, let's try to bring peace to him. Ela inyan, third line for the bottom. Ilyan shalom hu hepech kpeda v'kas. It means, you're marbe shalom because you just don't have kpedos. You don't have kas. When does kas happen? When a person is not fulfilled. When a person has a lot of angst. When a person has a lot of complaints. A dissatisfied life. Wishing he could be somebody else. Wishing he could have a different life. Talmidei Chachamim, the Hagdara on the second line, on the end, at the left column. Hagdara is Talmidei Chacham Ha'amiti, who shu malei osher. He's full of happiness. Sipuk, fulfillment. Sfiut ratzon, he's satisfied. Nachas ruach, he just enjoys life. Oneg bal yeshua, he's just excited and enjoys everything. Mehadaf gemara shalamad, yoter from the gvir who's making billions. The Talmid Chacham is the one who's happy, satisfied. And when you have Talmidei Chacham, and when you have people around who are just, have no issues, no problems, they're just happy, they're satisfied with life, that's something that has an effect on everyone. That's why Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. I'm sorry about the 3 minutes, but it's just a pleasure to see all of you. Thank you for whoever came to the Beis Medrash this morning. I tried to see as many people as possible. It was fantastic. It was very enjoyable. I'm going to work in MTA in about 10 minutes, but that's just work. This is the real pleasure. This is the real hana that I get on my trip. Thank you. What's the Rabbi Lamport? Says. Anybody who wants to hear the Rabbi Lamport who doesn't know it all. Not because he does.